Latest news we saw was like from a little bit before 8 a.m. where 20 homes had burned. So I don't know anything about Santa Barbara area. Yeah, and so we have many very dear friends. We used to live there, so we have many very dear friends there. And Mitch, where's Mitch? So please keep them all in your prayers. Thank you.
I think there's still a monastery, right?
The monastery is not there anymore.
Oh, okay. That's what they were
asking. No, but we used to live there, and then they moved to Santa Paula. But St. Athanasius, and the Greek church, St. Barbara, they're all very good friends of mine.
All right. How many of you are sailors? And by which I could mean U.S. Navy, but I actually.
What was the question?
How many of you are sailors?
I was in the Navy.
Yeah. But that was after the age of sail. Which is actually what I had in mind. And after I said it, I realized I was asking a question that could easily be interpreted as, were you in the Navy? I grew up sailing boats, helping to build sailboats, small 16-footers. Rebuilding boats that were smashed. Because of all places, I grew up in Oklahoma, and you say water in Oklahoma? There was a time when there wasn't, but now I've heard it said, and it's one of those, what they call them, factoids, which I have no idea if it's actually true or not, that there's more coastline in Oklahoma than, some coastal state. But because they've made all these lakes in order to deal with... But the other thing that we have a lot of in Oklahoma is wind. And so sometimes the wind becomes overpowering. And so my dad, the lake where we did most of our sailing was on a man-made lake that the Army Corps of Engineers had created a dam for. And so it still had it wasn't a post, but there was a, I'll call it an office, where the Corps of Engineers still had a presence. And so they would fly the flag, and then they would, when the wind reached a certain level, they would put up what my dad called Maggie's Drawers, which is the gale warning, and small craft warning. But, being Okies and being of Scottish background, what do we care? But that's how you end up smashing your boat sometimes. Anyway, so hope we don't smash the boat today. All right, so
it's coming.
God willing, now we're ready to dive a little deeper into the task of outlining what orthodoxy in the church had to do with American constitutional ideals. If you believe, as St. Paul, that the church is the pillar and ground of truth, then wherever truth may be found, there is reason for the church to be interested and involved. By the church here, I mean the body of Christ as a spiritual reality and not merely an external earthbound organization. Or we might say administration. Wherever questions of how human beings are to behave towards one another in society and towards the natural world around us are being considered, the church, as the pillar and ground of truth, has something important to contribute. As we just were talking about fasting and the recovery of peace in the world. But because we live in a pluralistic society with people of many differing faiths and of no faith at all, we're obliged to present what the church has to say about human thriving in a rational manner, one that can be considered and understood without reference points of scripture or church doctrine, or requiring that others first become Orthodox in order to accept these ideas. You might say, I thought that faith was contrary to reason. Well, that's not an Orthodox idea. I'll just leave it at that. I won't leave it at that.
Didn't resist.
If Christ is the Logos of God, the wisdom of God, the truth of God, how can that be irrational? And in fact, if we dig a little deeper into translating the word logos, we find, and the word reason, we find that behind that word concerning human beings as rational creatures, I'm ahead of myself, but I can't help it, we discover that the Greek word that gets translated as rational
word
is actually it's like logikos. Yeah, see, I pronounce everything incorrectly. I'm from Oklahoma. So, as long as you can understand me, then we have the miracle of Pentecost. But so the very idea that human beings are rational creatures connects us to the Logos of God, the wisdom, the truth, and the power of God. So, therefore, that was an aside. So, our Orthodox faith is not irrational. And while we could say it's super rational, I won't leave it at that either, because it is rational. It is explainable. It is understandable by human beings, because that's what we are. That's what we are. Okay, so this is, in fact, how the ancient apologists for the faith addressed the Roman authorities of their time. St. Justin Martyr did not quote scripture to the Roman emperors. They said, "We don't care what your little book says." So instead he had to say why a rational authority, which at least at its face value was interested in the welfare of the citizenry, or subjects, to use a term of somewhat perjurative meaning, would be interested in the things that our faith has to offer. And in fact, maybe we'll come to this later, he was at pains to point out, we're actually your best citizens. Okay. Not that they, the ancient apologists, or we, are uninterested in seeing others become Orthodox. But even if they don't come to believe in Christ as we do, they may come, first of all, to allow us to practice our faith undisturbed, unhindered. And by practice faith, I mean not just in the privacy of our own home, which is, you know, that was part of the Soviet Constitution. Did you know that? The Soviet Constitution had absolute, you know, freedom of conscience, they said. You were perfectly free to believe what you wanted in the privacy of your own home. Just don't tell anybody else about it.
Yeah.
Just don't gather with other people to talk about it, you know. This is a private matter, you see. We've gone a certain distance down that road here. So, first off, we're interested that people would allow us to practice our faith in peace, but also that they would come to accept the reasonableness and the value of adopting policies for the public welfare that are in harmony with, I'll say in harmony with, Orthodox views concerning the value, dignity, the ultimate end of every human life. I mentioned earlier some of the slogans of the 20th century, then the famous German one concerning, I should say Nazi, but it was in German, of life unworthy of life, which meant life that was not worthy to live. and therefore should be removed.
It's for handicapped people.
Well, handicapped. It was for people of certain ethnic backgrounds, certainly Jewish, but not only Jewish. It also included gypsies. They were rather hard on Slavs that came under their sword. People don't realize, probably you do, many of you, there were a lot of Serbs that were in the very same prison camps. Buchenwald, you know, had a lot of Serbs that were not Jewish. They were Orthodox Christians. Anyway,